Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, so Jay Silver just came on. How is about the lateness? There is a lot of activity leading up to coming on just now. So, yeah, I was watching the news, scrambling with my notes. The cat is making noises. But anyway, that's about Jay Silver. So tonight we're talking about racism. Are ex-slaves African Americans being held back in class? Okay, so yeah, I pose this question: America in the 21st century. In fact, the question blacks and whites still contemplate: is racism still alive today? Well, I was reading this book. It's called Between the Rock and a Hard Place: Racism and Wiping Out in the Age of Obama. And this is from my guy Ten Wise, the author. If you put in Tim Wise on YouTube, he comes up. He's a very animated speaker. He kind of does his thing with a lot of comedy in the beginning. He makes you laugh, you know, before he gets into the nitty-gritty of social racism and everything. And so his approach is quite different. I remember being at Westchester University, and he came to speak to the Westchester students there, student body. And, you know, a lot of younger white population there. Majority white school, and he came out to speak, and surprisingly, a lot of people, you know, showed up for him. They listened to him. I think, though, because he was supposed to speak for an hour. He spoke for, like, I think almost 2 hours. Like, after the first hour, people were kind of antsy. They didn't want to stay for much longer, and I think some of the black students kind of took offense to people leaving after an hour because I felt like this was an important issue, but overall, I mean, I thought it was a great discourse that Tim White did at the school. He did open up with, like, a lot of comedy, you know, just kind of to break the ice. And someone actually asked him about that, too. I remember this girl, she was, like, she was the head of the multicultural division. She was African-American. She asked, like, well, I think it was, like, too funny, like, the way you came out and, you know, you talked about racism and everything. And Tim White, what he said, like, I'll never forget, he said that, like, he has to kind of, like, break the ice with the comedy because he found, like, it worked better with white, you know, a white audience. Because essentially it's, like, very difficult to talk about these things of racism with white people. So in a sense, he has to kind of make it a little bit humorous just to get people of the white race to kind of stick it out with him and listen to, you know, like, the whole thing, really, about the history of racism, because he found that a lot of people didn't really want to really hear it, because, you know, it's like a guilt thing, you know, so I can understand why he had to moderate it in a sense, so the message could actually be heard. So it's on some things with that. She still had, like, an opinion, well, like, you got to make it funny, then it's not really doing their cause justice, and so I heard both sides. And, yeah, that's true. You know, you want to take it more serious because what happened to African-Americans in this country is wrong, you know. You know, what happened everywhere, really. It's a very serious issue. But then I saw his point of view, Tim Wise. I mean, like, he's Caucasian, and he's trying to, you know, talk about racism to young white student body. Most of the time, they're not going to hear it because it's like, you know, then they feel bad, like, okay, this blame is just keep being put on them. And a lot of times, you're not going to get a receptive audience. So, I mean, I heard both sides, but definitely you want to take it with some respect and seriousness. Like, I'm reading in this book, I haven't got too far, by the way, but just from what I read in the preface, he was talking about how Barack Obama, he became president, and he was saying that the style of racism was considered 2.0, whereas this new 2.0, I'll just read a little bit. Likewise, if Obama's win has the effect of creating a new archetype or model of acceptable blackness, in other words, if whites come to me, black folks, to be Obama-like in style, effect, irradiation, and educational background in order to be considered competent or trustworthy, his singular victory could actually create higher barriers for the bulk of African Americans. So he was saying even though Obama won, it's like racism 2.0 because now white people are going to expect, in order for, you know, African Americans to get anywhere, you have to have, like, this qualification of being like Obama. You know, he went to prestigious school, you know, the way he speaks, you know, kind of light skin, just kind of like everything about him, you know, they would expect now you have to embody in order to get anywhere in the country. And that's still kind of setting, like, a higher barrier past the, like, African Americans have a certain culture that's still creating, like, a higher barrier. Like, Obama went to, what, like, Ivy League school, was Ivy League University College. And he's kind of in the suburbs. He's raised in the suburbs or raised in Hawaii. It's a wealthy island. And so he comes from, like, a white background. So it's kind of unfair to say, like, African Americans need to have that structure in order to get anywhere in America. But he's calling it 2.0, racism 2.0. So racism is not as serious as racism 1.0, which is really, really bad. But this is, like, the new racism. I mean, it's a good book. Is there anything else I want to mention? He mentions about Barack being biracial. So I do appreciate someone actually mentioning that. But he also says in the country, people don't consider people who are biracial to be biracial. It's like the rule is whatever the two races you are, the least hierarchy of race. So, like, for instance, if you're black and white, then you'd be considered black. If you're Asian and white, you'd be considered Asian. So the whites look at it like whatever your least race is, they're going to consider you that because they don't consider you to be like them. So it's still, like, an unfair way of putting people in a certain group of inferiority so they can have, like, you know, basically the white privilege in the country and whatnot. Yeah, I resonate with that. I'm biracial, and I can tell you, like, right now, I mean, just my opinion, I think racism is still here to stay. Because when I tell, you know, I look very fair-skinned, when I actually tell white people I'm biracial, I get those looks like, oh, my goodness, like, you're black. I'm like, oh, wait, you're black. I get this look of, like, oh, you're black. And it's kind of like a nasty look. I'll be honest with you. I've gotten it twice before. One from, like, this Caucasian guy. And another from me and my roommate, we were taking a Spanish lady. We were dropping her off to her house. And she asked me what my ethnicity was towards the end. Like, we're having a good conversation. We're talking about God. We're talking about everything. And then she asked me what my ethnicity was. And I was like, yeah, I'm black and white. Like, the moment I said black, you know, like, what I was, my race, she just kind of looked like, I don't know, like, disgusted. Like, she, like, they have a certain idea of what black people are or, like, our culture. And it made me feel some type of way. I'm like, I'm, like, the nicest person or whatever. So I can already tell, like, in the mindset of people, you know, Caucasians, even Spanish people, there is this idea that, you know, that black people are still kind of, like, you know, considered to be low or they're at the accepted bottom race of society. And that's my personal experience. With racism, yeah, I think it's evolving to what Tim Wise is talking about, 2.0, but it's still here. It's still a system that would put us down at the bottom and elevate the race at the top, which is white people. So, okay, so I'm going to leave it open to callers. Tell me what you think. Is racism, do you think we're being held back in class? I mean, because some people will sit, like, in this book, sometimes they talk about there are whites who think that racism is over because Obama became president, you know, but then sometimes they're saying, well, that's just more racism because they're trying to sweep it under the rug. They're not taking their responsibility for racism in the country. So Tim Wise is trying to basically, I would say, like, the whole goal of this, his book is to try to get white responsibility to admit that there's racism in the country and try to be better about their racist regime and institutions that actually hold back black people. So, you know, tell me what you think, because this guy is white. Somewhere there's no joke. He's from down south. Like, he's, like, in their faces. Like, you guys, you know, he's saying he knows that they're still racist. Like, let's get some white accountability. That's what he's saying. But there are some other people that think that it's not as bad as it once was and that racism is not a problem anymore. So you can feel free to call in. The guest number is 714-583-6840, and just you know, let me know what you think. In the 21st century, do you think that racism is still a problem for the black community? Do you think we're still being prevented from upgrading our status? I mean, we have Obama as president, but then there are those who argue, like Tim Wise would say, well, that's just a new racism. Like, whites want you to be kind of basically like them in order to get anywhere in the country. So it's still kind of that's the president of racism. So, or you just think that probably doesn't matter. Maybe, if we all have the same advantages, right, with college, maybe it's about our choices, maybe it's about the mentality of the community, maybe we can actually uplift that. I'm interested to hear. But yeah. So until I get any other body wants to call back. Okay. Where are we headed in the 21st century with this? So there are people who are still in denial about racism. There are people who know their racism in their heart is still going on. And then there are people who think it's better, that really think it's better than before. Where do we see ourselves going in the 21st century as Black people, as white people? Where are we all going in the country? Man, I don't know. I think though, unless we continue to drop this knowledge about racism, I think African Americans should always keep their culture and their history. Because one thing I have noticed is like when you don't, the Caucasians in this society, they don't really like to talk about what happened. It's almost like they like the rest of the slavery. They don't like to talk about what happened. And they kind of like push things under the rug. So you always kind of have to be knowing your history and knowing what happened here to do justice to the ancestors and like how we've all come this far. Because if you allow yourself to forget and you get caught up with white America, you're gonna get the short end of the stick. You know what I mean? Like they're gonna slowly, I feel like they're slowly trying to weed out Black people in general. They're focusing more on the Latin population. I just think that we need to always keep our heritage. We always need to keep our cultural history up, and so we can like be more empowered to even be better. We shouldn't speak on it just to bring us down, but more just to remember the ancestors that were here and how they paved the way for us to have what we can have and how we need to actually keep doing that. We can't like just say, okay, it's all done and over, let's stop being activists. No, it's supposed to help keep this culture of activism so we could still have this, we could get to this level where we feel like we are not being oppressed at all. Like we don't have any kind of smidge of oppression, right? So we have to take responsibility of our own culture and actually talk about these things. That's why I'm like talking about it tonight. Because I feel like there are people don't really talk about racism in America anymore, and it's still prevalent, it still exists, but people just don't want to talk about it. Well, play a little bit of the song. If anybody wants to call in and talk about this, guest number again is 714-583-6840. Hello, caller. I'm calling the line.
Hey,
Hey.
my name is
I'm
Savon.
oh, how you doing? Just Jay Silver and Friends Network, and we're talking about racism. Do you have anything to include? We're talking about ex-slaves, African-Americans being held back in class. Do you still think racism is prevalent in the 21st century? Do blacks still have it? Are we still being prevented from upgrading our status in society?
Not like before. Racism isn't as blatant. There's been a lot of pacing and slowing down. But you know what? I still feel that it's like it's locked off from people, but maybe they're just not the best qualified person for the job. You know, there's been a lot of pushback for, like, affirmative action and stuff of that nature, and everybody saying, you know, the best man should get the job. So if a certain race has predominantly, like, their own race within their company, I feel like they, you know, unless a black person can really specifically, you know, do the job, be the best job. I've seen a lot of black CEOs, black people in all types of different positions, and I don't really know of any company that's locking black people completely out. I'm not sure if it's circumstantial or, you know, maybe nobody, not enough people qualify for the job. I think Google and Facebook have a lot of white and Asians. But, you know, a lot of, maybe more of them are just qualified for the positions where they're at with programming and stuff of that nature, you know, for the job.
Well, I was reading this book by Tim Wise, Between Rock and a Hard Place, and he's basically saying that racism does still exist, and he claims that white people need to be more responsible for the racism they dish out on us, and also the white privilege, that there does exist white privilege, and they all know about it. And it's just like, why aren't, if Obama is calling for blacks to be more responsible in the communities, Tim Wise is saying he's calling all whites to be more responsible in the white privilege that they still, you know, benefit in the country, and in the racist institutions, and the racism they even have within themselves. Like, why not address it and be responsible, you know, for that so we can have a more equal society? He would say racism, you know, does exist. And it exists more in white privilege. And white privilege, of course, takes all the jobs, most of the jobs. If you're a person of color, you don't really have a chance, pretty much, if you're going to be competing with a white or Caucasian or even an Asian or someone in the racial hierarchy that might be seen a little bit above African-American.
Yeah, unfortunately, you know, us black people have a pretty bad rap at the job sometimes. You know, like the basic, you know, the personification of what they call, a coon, I still feel exists. I looked it up like a while ago, like what a coon actually was. And some of the stereotypes is like a black person that they act like they hate their job, but then like when the white folks get around, then, you know, they start acting all chipper again and whatnot. But when, once they leave, then they go back to like doing as little as possible and, you know, talking smack about, you know, the job that they're doing. And, you know, that can still happen. That comes with, like, a level of immaturity. I feel like, and say, like, just doing your job, and if you're qualified, you know, you can make your own work in this world. If you could really put in that work yourself and, like, figure out how to do something useful in the world to get paid to do it, you know, then you won't have to worry about, you know, basically looking for a job, trying to get on some other captainship, instead of sailing your own.
I mean, like, other races don't like work either. So, I mean, do you think, like, the coon is just, like, a negative stereotype that they wrongfully put on African-Americans to try to make them seem, like, less, you know, like an inferior race? Because no one likes to do their job. You could argue, like, other races, as soon as the boss man leaves, will probably say something in their own language or, you know, I mean, talk about, you know what I mean? Like, no one's going to, like, do the job for too long. So it's kind of, like, unfair to just say, well, because black people are like this, this is why they're low, or this is why they're not getting a job. It's just, like,
I never saw, like, a white person or an Asian person, anybody else work harder than me. So, like, I don't really know, like, where that stereotype, like, how that still fits. But then I'm, like, an anomaly in myself.
Oh, so you're African-American?
No, I'm not. I'm Jamaican, and I'm pretty much two Jamaican parents. I'm, like, first-generation American. So, yeah, I'm, like, African-American in a sense, but I'm also kind of mixed. with that Jamaican blood.
Because you're in America, yes. Tim Lyons, I hate to say it, because you consider yourself biracial. I was saying this a little bit earlier, like, this is why I didn't agree with. He says that in America, they have, like, rape because of white racism, they have a different class, where racial, whatever, like, the race that you are, like, the lowest race you are, you will be considered America. So say for, like, I'm black and white, I would, in America, I'm considered black. If you're, you know, black and if you're white and Asian or something, like, you'd be considered Asian. You'd be considered, like, the lowest, and this is, like, trying to separate everybody from white people. So, unfortunately, you would be considered black. You know what I mean? Even though you're biracial or you got, like, some heritage behind you, if you're in America, the way they look at it, it's, like, you're going to still be put in the category of, like, ethnic, you know, color people, like, you know, the lower totem of the people. And it's unfairness to it, but that's how they see things.
Like, the status of black is weird because it has no national origin or, like, place, you know. It's just like, a real weird term to identify yourself as.
Well, yeah. I mean, you can summarize, I mean, because this is true. There's no such thing as race. He says in the preface of this book, like, there's no such thing as race, like, biologically or genetically. It's just a term that they use to denote different social groups and different heritages, you know, different cultures and stuff like that. And but it's so important in America because that's what they use to try to dice up groups because, I mean, like, that's how they get their group to have the most type of privilege. Like, they say this group is different because of this X, Y, and Z. So because this group is different because X, Y, and Z, this group has to be more inferior so we could be the ones on top. It's just really kind of like politics, really.
Yeah, like I can see why white people are confused with the whole where's this white privilege at. Like if your whole neighborhood is white and, you know, you get hooked up through some type of nepotism or like dad's friend, like, you know, you go work at their company and that dude has a business of his own, like being a plumber or a landscaper or electrician, you could like, you know, apprentice under him and whatnot, and you get the job. You know, if, like, if your people have things set up properly, then, like, you won't have to worry about, like, this privilege or that privilege and whatnot because you'd be already inclusive on your own thing. Like, if black people have more businesses, you wouldn't care about white privilege when it comes to getting a job, you know? So it's an internal problem.
That's true, but we've had that businesses before, but with the institution of racism, they own the government, they own the police. They I mean, if you look in our history, like, the town Rosewood comes to mind. It was like a movie they did of it, and I'm sure other towns, too. I mean, it'll be a matter of time before, like, our progress and prosperity will go up to a certain point, and then they'll come and bring it right back down because they don't want us to succeed in America.
Yeah, right now is a good time for black people to, like, I guess, start up trying to be successful because right now America is so confused with all types of other different issues that, you know, black people, we kind of just been put off to, like, the back burner. And, you know, we could kind of just hopefully make some end strides and whatnot and gain some type of upper status through education and actual business, making money. And you don't have to worry about white privilege.
I can have it, though. And, like, we start doing businesses. I think, like, the motivation is, like, once we get to our level of where we want to be as a community, what's the guarantee that we can keep that rise? Because we've had, you know, certain epochs before in America, and then, you know, because we're in a white, you know, we're in a country that's controlled by a white, you know, Caucasian group, they're going to just do what they, you know, do what they've done before, and they find ways to take out the, you know, take out the businesses. It's like, how are we going to maintain our level of success, so we can have the motivation, like, okay, this is how we need to survive, and we know how to keep these businesses running. We're not going to be afraid of, you know, the white supremacist groups trying to take us down. And how do we protect
gotta,
our businesses?
I mean, we just got to have that. I mean, it's possible for people to have guns to defend their business these days. You know, I'm not sure what was going on with, like, Rosewood and if whether they had guns or black people were allowed to have guns in those days. But right now, like I wish somebody would, just like some white knights on some horses or whatever, just come in and just try to start firebombing the place. Because
they've done it before.
Yeah, that was a different era.
Yeah, but they're not above. I mean, you see what's going on in the streets with riots in Ferguson. It's a little bit different, a subtle politics, but they're not afraid to do. They're not afraid to basically uproot any home or any business. You know, in the Black community that's being successful. They're not afraid
White people are so busy. I mean, they have all types of drug problems with heroin and pills. Like, they are busy
the
as hell with their own problems. They got homosexuality, all types of stuff going on. It's like, it's not like the 50s.
That's the people. That's the citizens. We're talking about the institutions that they left behind. We're talking about the government, the police. Their people are struggling with the government, the systems that they put in place to make sure that their race still stays on top, still exists. Like the police, the judges, the government. Like, they'll find out ways to make sure that their race is still on top, is what I'm saying. Like, the average people are going to go through stuff, but, like, what I'm saying is, like, you know, I know you're from Caribbean and, you know, you have different type of sentiment, but, like, honestly, if they start seeing a successful Black community, whether it be African American or Caribbean influence, it don't matter. It's like they're going to find ways to try to take you down. You know, they don't want, if they see that, you know, your communities are being more prosperous than the white area, and now you got some political backing, you got some politicians, you know, connected to your businesses, you're starting to have a voice in America. The white supremacy still exists. They're going to find ways to take that out. They don't want you competing with with them, basically, because they murdered this country. They stole it fair and square, right? So they're going to find ways to, you know, to do stuff to you.
I guess I'm not sure how America would announce. I mean, how they would react. Let's say if the Mexicans had, like, a whole city just, like, you know, where they're, like, top dogs. You know, I'm not sure how they react. All they could do is just shrug their shoulders in this day and age, you know?
They probably have contingency plans for all the races, because majority of races are not white on the planet. You know, white Caucasian people is very minority anyway on the planet. They got contingency plans for that, too. I mean, of course, they need Mexicans right now in the country for the workforce, but if the Mexicans started getting, like, you know, power pretty quickly, like, they monitor everything. And if they started getting rides, they got things up their sleeve. Look, they put biological warfare out there for people that, you know, make you get sick. They'll make you go to hospitals. Like, they'll find ways to depopulate your, you know, they do census reports. They're going to find ways to always control your race, because they want the right race, the white race, to be still on top. Even if it's a minority, they always want that power.
Yeah, but, like, we can still make a better lives for ourselves. You know, like, we could still make a better lives for ourselves and community and race and culture,
I just think that that's just, like, common sense. It's like, you know, yeah, of course we do that, but it's just, like, it's always this idea of, like, are we going to ever be able to have the same opportunities as them? Because they control everything. They rig the system, so their people can always have this white privilege. So it's like, you know, you can have a well-productive life for you, but if your soul felt like you needed to go further, you know, maybe you wanted to become the next president, or maybe you wanted to really do some real big social event, you know, activism, like, your soul was calling you to do that because of the way everything is. You know, you might get, you know, a lot of opposition from the people who are still in power, the white people who are still in power here. You know, it just might be very difficult to see your dream unfold.
You know, it might, or it might not. It might be real easy. And, you know, it could just happen. And, I mean, they already let the gays and the Satanists take control. I mean, why not the Black people?
Because the gays and Satanists actually go against the Black community. They go against really any community, really, think about it, because it's anti-family. So, if anything, they don't want true family. They don't want true cultural community getting rise in America. They do this stuff to try to uproot us in society. So it's make us all confused and make us not. Because Black people already have dysfunctionality in family due to slavery. So if you add the gays and the Satanists in the mix, now you got brothers listening to heavy metal and probably homosexual, and then it's even harder to bring the family together to even compete in America. I think the only answer is the truest. I think we all need to get back to our spiritual roots and pray. I think biracial women need to come on the forefront, like, because I feel like they're trying to hide our biracialness. Like, I want to start a multicultural society, and I don't think we should have to be black by default, because that's still part of white racism. And because we have both races, right? We have both cultures in us. And I think, you know, as a community, multiracial community, black community, we all want the same thing. We want the same opportunities in America. And we always have to be aware of the white supremacy and the white privileges that would set us apart from each other, and that would, you know, try to mess up our prosperity, you know, because of racism. We have to always be aware of racism, basically. We have to always talk about this stuff in, like, our history and not forget, you know, what our ancestors went through to get us to this point. You know, we always have to be aware. And who knows, maybe the white race, I don't wish ill on them, but maybe they will die out. Like, I feel like that's the only reason, like, the only way, like, if their race were dying out, then it would be no contest. Like, they really couldn't continue racism in this country anymore. Like, this country would go back to us by default. I mean, what are you saying? Do you think the white race would have to really start dying off for us to have power here, like real power, like uncontested power in America?
Someone else stronger would just come along and take it. Someone else stronger and more organized. You just be run by the Russians or Chinese.
That's more of a racist, that's a slave mentality right there. Oh, well, we get any power from NASA, another NASA will come and take it. No, I mean, like, that's still kind of slave mentality, and we're educated. We're in those offices, you know, we have the positions and the jobs, and, you know, you've got ethnic people of color in the military, people of color in the government. Like, we can do the jobs, and we're the only ones left in America. What makes you think we can't, like we're taught just like them, what makes you think we can't defend our nation from opposing forces?
That's because we got to have the best cities, and we got to have the smartest people if we think we're going to actually run things. Like, if we're not the smartest and with the best, then someone else who's smarter and better will come along and be that.
Well, see, there, that's part of the slave mentality right there.
I'm just addressing the problem so we can actually look at it and see, like, where we need to fix things.
That's kind of saying that we're not going to be, if, you know, we get those positions, we are, you know, of equal intelligence or smarter. Like, if we get in those positions that matter in the government, in the CIA, in the military, education, you know, like, if we really are doing and making a difference, like, then of course we're intelligent, you know what I mean? It's like this idea that maybe blacks are inferior to white. That's actually, in some ways, actually talked about that most...
No. I'm not saying inferior. I'm just saying that we're inexperienced, really. Like, we don't have, like, a long history of experience running those type of things. So it's just going to be, like, a rough startup.
So this is what we're talking about. We have to look into the future. Like, okay, so we have to actually consider these positions. So we're not inferior. We're not stupid. Because I went to Westchester, and I used to think, okay, you know, I'm biracial. I used to think, oh, white people might be a little bit smarter than me. I went there, and no, boo-boo, like, they're not smart. Like, they're actually dumb at science and math. It's pretty tragic. Most people would fail, like, the basic biology and chemistry courses for the first year, maybe 2 years in a row. So they're not entirely that intelligent, you know, that much intelligent. They just speak English very well, or I should say better than, you know, most of us, right, because it's our language. But when it comes to math and science, we're no different. Like, we can learn, and I think ethnic people can excel at math and science a little bit more. That's just kind of been my experience in theory.
Yeah, that's
when,
like,
we actually
an American
learn it.
Thing in general.
What, like, America as a country? They say our country is falling behind in it. But if you figure, like, the country is still majority Caucasian, so it's still kind of saying that, you know, like, white people are not as superior as they keep claiming to be, because if you're majority of the country and you're, you know, you're not as, your country comes from what number were we? 52 or something? Like, we were, like, a low list of, like, the most smartest countries. So it's just kind of saying that, like, you can't be that superior if you're on, like, a low list compared to the rest of the world. So it's just all propaganda that they say about, like, blacks being inferior, being stupid.
You know what? I think for really, it would take 20 years for us to really turn things around? Probably, you could break it down into 4-5 year segments, you know, but in order to raise up a generation the right way and then keep it going, it'll take 20 years.
I mean, it could take, I like to be an optimist. I feel like it could take less. It could take 10 years, maybe 5. It'd be, if Black people really started getting together on some serious mission, like after school program, we need to be about our kids, we need to be about these studies, these math and science, and really look at it serious. Like, we're going to take over these occupations from white people. Like, we're going to be the next in line. Like, we need to increase our population so we're not, you know, far behind with the Spanish population. We need to actually keep being a family unit so we could still be here prevalent in America.
I don't think we need a bigger population of Black people, because we would need jobs for those Black people to do. Like, I could see if
What's the point of bringing in more people without jobs? Because it's about the skills. Like, there are jobs, but you have to up your skills. You just said it. Like, Black people will probably have to consider going more into the technology sector and the team with the Asians. Like, we can it's a different way of thinking, really.
It would take 20 years to exactly raise one generation of children the right way. Like, you have to start completely fresh from year one. And whatever we will call the children of our millennial generation and whatnot.
I disagree. I mean, 20 years.
Let me explain. That's pretty much from birth to adulthood of one generation. And you would have to.
That's a long time.
Yeah, that's pretty much one generation. And if you break it down into 5 years at a time, like what would have to be done, how smart the kids would have to be, and like what people go in to do what, like you would have to raise up people who are going to be lawyers and judges and politicians and police officers and stuff of that nature. Like an organized effort to do it, and then you could start having some inroad changes. Then maybe the next generation could pick it up.
I mean, yeah, that's like a more stable plan. Honestly, we don't got that kind of time. We really need to be like head starters. I mean, people in their families need to be talking about their politics, talking about raising their kids the right way. Like, it needs to be a concerted community effort where we're having community programs where we are trying to jumpstart the education process, math and science, with Black children, with this, you know, this idea, you know, we have to, like, excel at this, because this is our survival. Like, our survival is math and science. Our survival is technology. It's our brain. It's our intelligence. So it's just just redirected in a different way, but, like, you know, like, and more motivated. I feel like we can do it quicker. You know, even if we got to put some music to it, we got to, you know, put some rap songs to it to get everybody,
yeah, that sounds,
you know,
completely pointless. Talking, praying, and rapping about racism is completely and utterly pointless.
It's not true. It's motivation. It actually gives people the inspiration and the energy to make a difference. I think that's something. I think it's kind of a pessimistic